This portion of the show is brought to you by Diamond Auto Glass. The difference is clear.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
The word of the day is biomass. Every time I say biomass, you guys take a drink of whatever it is.
I don't have a drink.
You guys don't even have anything. Your Lipton iced tea or whatever that is.
My green tea with real cane sugar, not corn syrup.
Yeah, biomass. Biomass. So, yeah.
Well, if it has the letters bio, it must be good, right? It's going to save the environment.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's got to. It sounds catchy. It sounds like something that was created like in a lab or something. Mm-hmm. But this is the new way that the left and the eco warriors are telling us is a good way to heat your home is you use biomass.
Biomass. Yes. Something that grows and has weight.
Biological, right? You have your degree is in biology, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. It sounds good. It's good for the environment.
Like you're talking about plant and animal worlds.
Yeah. So biomass. Yeah. So I get this text from Bruce Sidlinger that the, I think it was the county and the feds, of course, meaning us, meaning the taxpayers, are giving tax credits if you convert your home heating system to a biomass system. And I'm like, wow, biomass, that sounds so fancy. And that's, you hear about biomass plants, like they create electricity and all that, right?
Right,
and you're like,
right, sure.
This is going to be awesome. And like, what is biomass? Biomass is Benjamin Franklin flirted with this idea. You ever heard of the Franklin stove? I mean, he's the guy that basically patented the enclosed stove so you could put biomass in it. Biomass is also known as wood.
Really?
I've just seen it all at this point, guys. I don't even know what to say when I see the eco warriors touting
here's my
this.
Question: is coal a biomass? I mean, it's supposed to be degraded animal, right?
Yeah.
Is that a biomass?
I guess so. I mean, I figure everything is renewable at some point because even oil if you wait long enough, right?
I went out to the state fair this weekend at Fort Tuttle. I mean the
county. I heard you on the show. Mark filled in Thursday and he kept saying state fair and I was like cringing. I was like surprised there ain't 80 emails about it. It's the county fair. But
well,
that's okay.
With all the
it's
people okay. that came up from Phoenix, it really was a state fair.
That's
true.
We were
what day was it?
Friday through Monday. No,
when
right?
did you go? When did
oh,
you
I went Friday.
Okay, busy?
Not too bad because it was the weather was not so good. Friday's like the homeschool private school day.
Yeah, it's for a lot of schools or field trips.
Yep. Yeah, and so we got there after the field trips were over, so it wasn't too bad. But, you know, we went around and saw the animals and all that, but the state
fair. You know, it was a county fair. It was a county fair. Okay. Well, no, they have this thing for the rebates for biomass.
We went there yesterday and we saw this display.
Yeah, this display. I'll try to remember to throw some pictures in the podcast so you can check it out.
So one of the things the reason I was bringing that up was one thing that must not be a biomass is uranium, right?
No.
And I bring that up because I went through the geological
rules. Yeah.
They had uranium there,
And they have the uranium, like, if you stand here for 9 hours, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, Owen's like tempting it. He's like, I'm going to stand here.
No, like, the sign said you'd have to stand there for 4 days.
Well, one of them was four days, and the other one said, in the other half of the room, it said 9 hours. It was a big rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the biomass thing was in the Inflation Reduction Act. This was money set aside. In the you think, why would this be in the Inflation Reduction Act? The Inflation Reduction Act was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, environmental dream out there. I won't use the word I wanted to. It is, they love this thing. It is the Green New Deal. They got it through under the guy. Look, every time there's something that happens in this country, like 9/11 happens, which we're rapidly closing in on the anniversary once again, guys. I mean, next, I think it's Monday coming up. But after 9/11, everybody's all worked up and of course, right? And
sure.
I remember it clear as day, like it was yesterday.
It's back when it was still cool to have an American flag on your truck.
Yeah, everybody had American flags. But what did they do? They used that emotion and the raw emotion of the American people to pass through the Patriot Act. And then it renews every 5 years or something like that. And they always
create the Department of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security.
TSA. Yep. All that crap we get after 9/11. And it never goes away. So what do they do? Fast forward. They've done it many other times on many other issues. fast forward to inflation's ripping at 10%, really 20%. So people are worked up because you just went shopping. What'd that cost you?
Yeah, still $191
for like three bags.
You know, oh, maybe that's a deal. It's usually $400 when I go shopping.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's always they want the government to do something, so they pass the Inflation Reduction Act. It's going to cause inflation because they're sprinkling so much money out there. So there's all kinds of things for property owners, changing out your HVAC, light bulbs, you name it. There's all kinds of rebates available right now. This is going to be like, remember in Arizona we had the natural gas conversion for vehicles back in the early 2000s. What a scam that wound up.
That was. Oh my goodness.
This is going to be like that. So, yeah, I'm looking at this thing. It's like, oh, we'll give you, don't quote me on this, but something like up to 30% of the cost of a new wood stove?
30% of the cost up to $2,000. So
that's
not
an expensive wood stove.
I'm figuring how much are you wood stove cut?
Yeah.
We just
biomass stove.
Biomass.
Your biomass stove could cost close to that, but it's all the piping that goes with it that ends up being $4,000-$6,000.
Oh, if you have to replace your chimney.
Yeah, okay. Or you don't even have one and you have to put in
your
triple wall pipe all the way up out the roof.
All right. I'm a guy who has a wood stove, biomass stove. And so I'm like, okay, I got a chimney. I just got to get the adapter for the size, whatever is coming out the back of the biomass stove, and hook that up. But you're right. I mean, those triple wall pipes.
Triple wall pipes. Once you hit the ceiling, you got to go triple wall all the way out.
Expensive.
And 10 feet above the, or 2 feet above the closest area that's 10 feet. Anyway, there's
approximately, according to some. Yes. Anyway, yeah, that's really and then you got to have someone install it. So, yeah, you're right. It could get quite expensive. And I think that it will get quite expensive for the American taxpayer because if there's rebates available, people will take advantage. I'm sitting there snapshotting. I'm like, okay, these dumb programs, let's see. Light bulbs, I'm starting to click through. I'm like, okay, tax season is here before you know it. What do you got to do to keep up with this jacked up system that we got in this country?
So you're not going to pay for a wood stove for years and years and years. You're not going to save enough on your gas bill for a really long time. If you're spending $8,000, you got to build an alcove for it. You got to have...
You're not popping it on the carpet.
Right. So the time you spend the $10,000 to get it in, that's $10,000 you could have paid for your natural gas bill, which in the winter you're paying an extra, $80 a month compared to
even if
to
it was
summer.
A couple $100 for 4, 5, 6 months, if we have a really cold winter like last year.
How long does it take to make up $10,000?
This is the same problem with trying to justify the electric car. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got... Let me just use this for example. Let's say the 2003... 20 years now, Chevy Tahoe, that gets probably 18 miles per gallon approximately, if we're lucky.
On a downhill, with
stretch, the tailwind. Yeah. And so, but we've looked at it before. We're like, okay, let's get something more efficient. Well, okay, let me spend $60,000 versus a vehicle I've owned now for 20 years. How long would I have to pay for the, even if gas, which has popped over $4 again, even if it goes up to $5 or $8 or $10, when does this actually make sense? And I know America's financial literacy at this point is pretty bad, blank stares like McConnell in front of a microphone at this point, but it just doesn't make sense. So you're right, a wood stove. Now wood stove makes sense to me because if I switch out, and you know our wood stove.
I have a wood stove too. I like wood stoves. I like solar, all these type of things because wood stoves are more comfortable, but the big issue is you're not relying on the power company, the gas company to keep your house warm.
Yeah.
You might have a natural gas furnace, but the power goes out, electricity goes out, that furnace is not going to run.
Now the gas is still there, but you can't
run. Your house is freezing. Now you got to protect your pipes from freezing. And we saw this disaster in Dallas, right? People lost their heat, then their pipes froze, and then you've got massive disasters. You can't even wash yourself, feed yourself.
No water. You can't do anything.
Power goes out, fine. Goes out all winter, fine.
Yeah, we have the cast iron. We could cook on top of ours.
We have cooked.
We have.
Mine too. Yeah. Throw a cast iron skillet on top and
heat something up.
I wanted to start the show off with this because I think I'm optimistic for this. I don't like the tax credits. I don't like the government subsidies and this largesse that's going on.
So the government takes your money and then gives you back a portion as a tax credit.
It's a tax credit. It's like, oh, thanks. Could I just keep it and buy my own biomass stove without the aid of the federal government or the city. And the city of Flag, I saw, had like a $200 kick in all this deal or something like that. So it's just, I'm hopeful that people are waking up to the benefits of biomass, also known as wood, firewood. But it was funny because let me pull this up.
Some people complain while you're doing that about the soot coming out of your chimney, the smoke. But then if we don't burn the wood, it gets burnt in control burns.
Yeah.
And you get a lot more smoke.
Yeah, you get the
smoke
anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
would you rather go through an EPA-approved stove or a wildfire?
Exactly. I have been arguing on this show. You guys, this is my topic. I don't think anyone else in the country is talking about wood stoves as the way to go, biomass stoves, whatever you want to call it. This has been my thing for years. This has been my thing for years.
Funny.
And I started it because I saw a push to get rid of wood stoves.
Mm-hmm.
Just until like 8 seconds ago, wood stoves are bad because they put up smoke and they cause haze and pollution and you name it.
Yep.
I've talked to the environmentalists on this. I've talked to the sustainability department or whatever directors and staff. We hate wood stoves. We want you to get rid of that wood stove.
Yep.
Look around Flagstaff, which is at 7,000 feet, approximately. And you're in the middle of the largest contiguous ponderosa pine forest in the world. And it gets cold. I mean, it's already getting cold at night, and they discouraged people from wood stoves for years. In fact, most of our neighbors no longer have wood stoves. They've ripped it out for gas inserts, maybe, or just went straight up to an HVAC system.
That's right.
So here I am for years saying, wood stoves, it's the way to go. It's locally sourced, so I'm an environmentalist.
So you,
I'm an environmentalist. Locally sourced material, firewood, number one.
Yep.
Go ahead.
You brought up a good point because there was a time not too long ago the gas company was giving rebates and such if you put in a gas stove and got rid of your wood stove because they're thinking we can sell you more gas.
it's insanity. So no, these people claim to be environmentalists and because they showed up at a council meeting and read some speech from their iPad or whatever about the polar bears and stuff that's so far, you're never going to see a polar bear or an iceberg. But anyway, they don't do they haven't done real things in our neighborhood. So for years, we've been an environmental steward on this show saying, go out and cut firewood, clear the forest of this downwood. And we were out there this weekend. It's everywhere. Even after last winter, a lot has fallen because of the snow weight, the snow load and all that. So we're out there saying, hey, go out and cut wood. It's good for the environment. It clears the forest. Also, it's locally sourced and it's going to get you, we have a little bit of a health issue in this country when it comes to being
exercise.
In shape, exercise,
chopping
weight,
wood,
chopping hard work. Okay, check this out. So until 3 minutes ago, these wood stoves, or now they're called biomass stoves, were being shunned. This is what the county had up, and thanks to the federal government, incentive and tax credits. Wood-burning stoves are referred to as, quote, biomass stoves.
They changed the name, and now it's good. Now it's okay.
Now it's good.
We changed the name, so it's okay.
Biomass fuel includes agricultural crops and trees, wood and wood waste and residues, including wood pellets, plants, including aquating plants, I don't know what that means, grasses, residues, and fibers. So all of a sudden, now it's good. And here, check this out. EPA-rated wood-burning stoves are not only more efficient, but they're safer and better for both indoor and outdoor air quality.
Lie. That is a lie. I want to address that.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we just put one of these new EPA stoves in a customer's house.
A biomass stove, okay.
Biomass stove. Brand new EPA stove by a reputable company, but they've had to jump through so many hoops with the EPA now.
Yeah.
The thing, when you would open the door to load wood, it would bellow smoke into the house. And we're like, what is going on here? The EPA had caused it to be this convoluted path of a chimney pipe that's kind of circular, and it gave about 2 to 3 square inches total for the smoke to go up through the chimney. Two tiny little slots on either side.
Yep.
And we were able to go in there and take this bar out and then let the chimney be free-flowing, and the things started working correctly and not flooding the house with smoke.
Yeah.
But it's like the cars. I had a 1991 Honda Civic. It got 41 miles per gallon. There is not a Honda out there that isn't hybrid that can get that kind of miles.
Yeah, we were there. We had it tuned in.
Yeah.
We had it tuned in.
We had it dialed.
Well, on the stove, I know they had tightened up, the EPA had tightened up the catalytic converters in there, whatever. And so that's what you're talking about. Because it kind of recirculates to burn that log completely. And
they've even gone beyond catalytic converters now. That's old technology.
Oh, that's old. Okay.
See, so the new technology is, it's almost like you've seen these like solo stoves you cook in the backyard.
Yeah.
You get your little back and it recycles the heat and gets the fire smokeless. They're kind of using that similar technology, trying to reburn the smoke. So it goes out the chimney really clean.
Mm-hmm.
But by recycling that air, it's not getting enough oxygen and it's not getting enough, what do they call it? Draft.
Draft. I've had that happen. So I have, you've seen my stove. It's big. It's one of those old ones. It's got the ones you.
Someday you'll recycle it and retire.
No.
It's that much steel and iron.
I'm keeping that. Right. I'm keeping that forever because I can load that thing. It doesn't burn as efficiently as these new ones, but it's a very simple design. It's got a
load it up for all night.
Yeah, and I can damp it down, and the smoke goes up the chimney correctly. You get good draft. I have a newer one. It's probably 5 to 8 years old, in Camp Verde, and I have that problem when I open it up. It's nowhere near as efficient as the new ones with the requirements from the EPA, and it does that. It'll push out smoke a lot. You have to open it real slowly. They did a similar thing. If you look at like your anything that puts water through your faucets, even the nozzles that you buy for the for a hose, there's a little pin size hole in them now. It's like the gas can too, you know.
It limits the flow.
Yeah, and it's like, how am I supposed? And it's always like, what's wrong with my water pressure? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with your water pressure. So here's what I have to do with the nozzles now. I take it off, I throw it on the ground, and I use my thumb.
Right.
You know, they're trying to do something good, and the road to hell is paved with good intentions, I guess, right? They don't want you to have a nozzle that's just dumping out water.
Was that the road to hell or Flagstaff?
Yeah. They don't want you to be wasting the water, so they come up with all these restriction devices. But you get to the point, just like the gas can, where the stupid stuff they do, you just throw it away, and then it causes... can cause more problems. All right, I want to talk more about this, because then we've got to get into... Because this is going to lead to our firewood cutting experience and etiquette in the forest, which apparently is mimicking just etiquette in general society at this point. So hang tight for all that. And if you got a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. And hey, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Hit that subscribe button. I appreciate everyone doing that. Okay, I really want to thank Kelly Broaddus for being a longtime sponsor here on the program. And I want to thank her for all the people she's helped sell their homes for top dollar out there. I've heard from a lot of you. She is the person that I would call if I was selling a home right now in the Flagstaff area, because I know she's got the experience to get me that top price out there. She's going to be on the program actually tomorrow. My week is messed up now because Labor Day, Wednesday, September 6th. So looking forward to getting an update from Kelly Broaddus. If you're thinking about selling your home, call Kelly Broaddus right now, 888-446-5602. You want to get the valuation of your home. Get instant valuation by going to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Just click on the instant valuation tab right there, and you'll get that emailed right away. Kelly Broaddus can help you out. And like I said, she'll be on the program coming up here tomorrow. Okay, so back to this post that we saw at the county fair we went to, benefits of biomass stoves. And remember, if you're just joining us, you didn't hear this, biomass is wood, and they've rebranded it. Now it's good for the environment. Now they want you to convert your home. Anytime the government wants to do something for you, they do it through tax credits. They do it through financial incentives. So this is the big push right now.
Yep.
Is to get people switched over. Okay, here in northern Arizona, we have an ample supply of wood. In fact, land management agencies encourage collecting wood from the forest because it helps clear access fuel from the forest floor, a fire prevention strategy. Wood permits from the Forest Service allow the collection of down and dead wood or standing dead wood in specified areas. Again, something we've been saying on the show for years, get out there and collect the forest and help prevent forest fires. I'm glad. I'm actually happy.
Well,
I wish they would have called me. I could have talked to them a little bit. This has been
a good thing if people
forever. I've been saying do this.
I mean, people need to you know, go do some hard work and be prepared
to
you know, fend for themselves with getting firewood, or else you're, you know, it's expensive to buy it.
Yeah.
Already cut.
Yeah.
But, $250 you know, board. The self-reliance thing, we all need to get back to that and go cut your firewood and haul it and split it. And stack it's hard work, but.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. When that disaster happened in Texas, you know, the windmills froze and all the alternative energy went sour.
Yeah. Yeah. How many of them wish that?
I was talking to my relatives there because I came from Dallas and still have a lot of relatives. And I was like, don't you have any other ways to heat your house? I mean, I've got my furnace, number one, my gas stove. I mean, my wood stove. I've got propane heaters. I've got tons of options.
Mm-hmm.
Not tons, but several options to heat my house. Don't you have any alternatives? Like, no, we just rely on the grid and the government.
That's a horrible idea. This is not a good life strategy. So I don't know if you're in a position where you can take advantage of the biomass tax credits. I mean, we could have another winter like last winter. We could have tons of, you don't know. Could be years before that happens again. Power could go out. But again, you can get out there. Look, it's not easy to go out and cut a bunch of firewood. Plus there is expenses. You got to go buy, and I'd buy one soon, a gas powered chainsaw. Not that I'm opposed to an electric one. I'd like to have one for delimbing, things like that.
Yep.
But they're going to make these things worse and worse because of EPA regulations as well. So might be a good time to go out and buy. They should get, can I get a rebate on a gas-powered chainsaw, a new one?
No.
You know, that would be good. Probably the electric ones, the battery ones. Anyway, biomass is the new thing. Go check it out.
You make a good point about it. Get a chainsaw. All your basic gas-powered stuff, get them out and don't put ethanol in it. You got to put in 100%. Real gas.
Never done it.
And because if you do use,
I've never done it, and they all work. I have stuff that's decades old, man.
But it doesn't just sit there, though.
Yeah, I use it. Yeah,
you use
if it sits there, I drain it. If I don't use it, if it's the end of the season, I drain the weed whacker, for example. Here, hopefully in a month, I'm so sick of cutting things.
the ethanol gas, I'm sure it was, destroyed my weed whacker. I had a nice, high-quality weed whacker.
Yeah, possibly. Well, what I don't get, one more thing on this, and then we're going to move on to a couple other big issues, infrastructure bill, changing of the guard, some of McConnell's freeze-up, things like that, so stick around for all that. But one thing that I can't fathom, maybe if you're just like using your something that takes like a 50-1 or 41 mix or whatever, your weed whackers and this and that. You're using a little bit. I don't understand $25 for the half a gallon at Home Depot or wherever. You know, the premix stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That comes in the can? Yeah. I'm like, really? You can do this for like $4.
Yes.
Right? Well, I guess it's like $4 a gallon now.
Four.
Plus one of those little things, a couple bucks for that. You know what I'm talking about. That's the new thing is there's a whole shelf full. They ran out of things to sell, so now all of a sudden you get the premix containers. All right, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those comments in, and try to get to those here in just a little bit. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. Speaking of the changing of the seasons, I can already feel it's getting pretty cool at night before you know it. You got snow on your roof again, and your gutters are getting all clogged up. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona's got the best special they've ever had on the program here. Normally, they've been giving my listeners 30% off for the past couple years. Gutter Helmet threw in an extra 5%. So 35% off if you call Gutter Helmet and mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the number one gutter helmet or number one gutter protection system out there, gutter helmets. It's multi-patented reverse curve will deflect all the pine needles, all the debris. They've installed a ton of this stuff throughout the state and throughout the nation. Over 40 years of experience, plus the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials. Call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona right now, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555 or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. Also, thanks to Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. I know interest rates have gone up. I need to get her back on to talk about what's been going on lately, and I think they're going to raise them more. When you need to buy a house, don't wait for rates and go down. You can always refinance. Mark, you've always said that as well. Call Kim Dawson. She's going to be able to help you out, and she also has a great deal for you to help save you on those closing costs. Every little bit helps here. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, and you get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Whether you're refinancing, new home, second home, investment properties, anything like that, Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she's going to be able to help you out. 928 928- 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Or go to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Hang tight. More to come. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Let's talk about the changing of the guard. We were talking about, I think you and I, Angela, talked about this a week ago about the baby boomers. And I know there's a lot of baby boomers listening. I'm not trying, don't take offense to this. It's just that there are also a lot of baby boomers in power, political office, that are getting really up there in age, and that are, it's showing. Mitch McConnell, for example, what did he do?
He's been freezing up, right? Just like
again.
Yeah, again. Just, it's almost like somebody just turns him off like a robot.
He just freezes. I don't know what's going on. Feel bad if you got a condition like that. Something's not right. I can picture him. He's the minority leader for the Senate.
Yeah.
I mean, so,
he goes
okay.
Back and forth. If the Republicans are power,
he's a majority. Yeah. Okay. So maybe he meets with world leaders and stuff and he's sitting there and all of a sudden goes blank. I mean, this is our representation out there. It reminds me of, end of World War II, you had Roosevelt and Churchill and Stalin meeting in the Yalta Conference. It was 1945. And basically it was splitting up. How do we divide up Europe?
Right.
Was this big conference. And Roosevelt was gone.
Yeah.
He was at that point where he just wasn't capable anymore, and Stalin chewed it up and conquered half of Europe, basically, with that one meeting. So I think about that and look at history and say, wait a second, watch who we're sending. So,
yeah. No, back when you look back to our first president, George Washington, and what he said was that the office of president, one of the major jobs of it is to represent the country to the world.
Yeah.
You know, you're the number one ambassador to the world for our country.
Yeah.
When you've got a Joe Biden type in there, that's
and a McConnell,
we're sending America's like we are the most powerful country in the world. We are the best place to live. I mean, there's nowhere else you want to be more than America. You know, everybody in the world wants to be an American citizen. We're the most top economic country, top military country, best free place to live, best Bill of Rights, and we're sending out of 330 million people,
that's our representative,
Joe Biden,
or McConnell,
or Trump. Trump too.
Trump's old too, but Trump's still with it.
Well, I know, but
he's still got his.
I mean, he's still old got his marbles. He's baby boomer too.
No, he is, and that's why we went over this last week. I said, look, if Trump's the guy, if he's the nominee, of course, I'm 100% there. Mm-hmm. I want him to go in there and clean house, but this is it. Yeah. this is it for the baby boomers because it becomes an age factor, and wouldn't you want to go out and enjoy it? What's his name? Biden, drive your Corvette. I don't know if he should even be driving at this point.
Have someone drive.
Have someone driving him around while he's eating his ice cream and enjoy life. Go look at the, he probably wants to look at the girls at the beach or something. I don't know what Biden
this
likes to do.
This is why they need term limits.
Yeah, this is why they need term
limits. They should have done it a long time ago, but when they set all this up, people weren't living or serving into their, late 70s, 80s. Sometimes longer.
It was unusual.
It wasn't a problem back then. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm all for age limits. Term limits as well. I'm for that. But age limits, I'm for it. But really, we as the voter should stop voting for people that are in their 80s.
Never works. Yeah,
people or late 70s.
I mean, how does Dianne Feinstein get back in?
It's unreal.
McConnell's Kentucky, right?
I can't remember where he's from.
I think he's Kentucky. Yeah. How does a state that elects Rand Paul elect a Mitch McConnell over again? Back in the founding of the country, you did have some of our more senior statesmen, statesmen like Benjamin Franklin.
Yep.
Who is, I think he was 80 when he passed away.
So, Jeff, here's what.
84, I think it was.
Here's what I learned from running for office. I ran for state office twice. And had some deep discussions with the Democrat Party. Actually ran as a Democrat back then, hoping that there could actually be two good parties in America. But basically what they, at least on the Democrat side, what they would tell you is, it's fine that you're running, but you're not our candidate, and we're not, they would basically tell you, we're not going to let you win. Mm-hmm. We're not, you're not it. You can play candidate. And they would just tell you this verbatim.
Yeah, well, like, Republicans will do the same thing.
They're like, this is our candidate. This is who.
That's what they're doing to RFK right now, the Democrats.
Let me take that back. The Democrats are masters at it. The Republicans are
much better.
You know what? I take the whole thing back because I've seen some Republican primaries where it's just absolute slaughter and we destroy each other in the primaries. So it is the Democrats are, they're masters at here's who is going to run.
Yeah.
Here's who's next in line.
Well, and they have the superdelegate thing, which the Republicans don't have.
They don't have that,
The superdelegates basically override.
Yeah,
the will of the primary voters in the Democrat Party.
So look, it just this guy froze up again. But what I'm seeing and witnessing, and I've got to, I am reading the book, Fourth Turning. The Fourth Turning is here, right? The original book was The Fourth Turning back in the 90s.
Okay,
and I really want to get the author of this book. It was written by two folks back in the 90s. It's about generational changes and all that, and we're in that. And I, as I'm reading that book, I'm like, yeah, now I'm being reminded of what these guys were saying in the 90s, that this is all coming because you have an aging baby boom generation that went wild, and then you got the Gen Xers and then the millennials, and this is all coming to a head. I see it rapidly coming to a head. In the next 5 to 10 years, where we're going to see such a monumental shift in this country that I don't think we've seen since World War II, since the Civil War, since the Revolutionary War. It's coming. I just don't know how it's going to look when we get to the other side, because the baby boomer generation, that huge generation that's inundated our culture, music, think of all the music, think of all the people
who went out,
started business. Yeah, people went out, started businesses, the hippies that became the yuppies, and you know, you name it. But that's all going away. And you know, our parents are all baby boomers and all that. And, you know, everybody ages, right? But these people are in their 70s, in their 80s, and they're not going to be in these leadership positions for very much longer. And you look at McConnell, you look at Dianne Feinstein, you look at all the Biden, all these baby boomers, although Biden might be, he might be something even before that. Old is he? No, he's a baby boomer well. And you say, hey, this is ending soon. And who's taking over? Well, you're a Gen Xer, right?
Gen X.
We're Gen Xers. I can't remember the exact date that Gen X goes 85. To early 80s. Okay, early mid 80s.
85 because
and the millennials.
Yep.
These are the ones that are taken over. And the Gen Xers are a certain kind of feel and thought, but the millennials are much different than even we are.
Way different.
They're going to be taking power. And what do they want? You know, what do they want the country to look like and the world going forward? They're really into this climate change thing. I don't think you change their minds on that. And man-caused climate change and biomass stoves and whatnot. I don't know. It's just food for thought. What will the country look like in the next 5 years? Is that even too long? 3 to 10 years? It's going to be so different. And I don't know if it's going to be a place that we can't even recognize it now, but going forward.
I think we're two elections away from big change. Now, I don't mean four-year elections. I mean the next.
The two-year cycle.
The two-year cycle.
Yeah,
the presidential and then the midterm. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to lose all the Mitch McConnells, the Dianne Feinsteins, all this, that old crew, even the Trumps, you know, they're all going away within 4 years.
Yeah. And what does it look like after that?
What does it look like? Is it the Gen Xers taking over? Because the Gen X, the one thing they had was they were really hardworking. They were go-getters.
Mm-hmm.
That's typified them.
Really individualists.
Individualists had a lot less babies. There's a lot less Gen Xers out there. And then the millennials are way different. They're not. Oh.
And in this book, in the Great Reset, the
Fourth Turning
is here, or whatever the title is. Fourth Turning is here. They talk about the millennials and how they were the protected ones. Mm-hmm. They were just very coddled, very coddled. Whereas we were like, where are my kids?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, our parents didn't want.
We had to do it. And my mom would yell for us when it was time to come back. Yeah. And like we were drinking water out of the hose and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, we were climbing trees with snakes, you know, and whatever.
Very independent and very uncoddled, whereas the millennials are very coddled. So I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but I know that just looking at our generation from millennials, I mean, we are a world apart as to what matters. And where our values at, but we're in the middle of this thing, and it's it's going to be dramatic, the changes that we're seeing and going to see going forward.
Yeah, I really think it is. And the cuddle thing is big. I remember as a, when I went to kindergarten, I lived on a farm, and the school was probably 20 miles away. And my mom, the bus pulls up one day, and my mom's like, get on. It's like, where am I going? You're going to kindergarten. Bye.
See you later.
See you later.
Did you get some food?
My parents weren't even home in the morning. They left for work, and we were on our own to get to school. Yeah. Like, we were, like, if you didn't get to the bus on time, then you were in deep trouble.
Now
the world is full of fear, and so you don't dare let
the parents don't let the kids just go stand at the bus stop by themselves we did. We did it every day.
Or even ride the bus. Most parents.
Yeah, yeah.
We live by D. McGill School in University Heights. It's a long line of cars every morning of parents dropping their kids off. Yeah, you see this at all the schools around town.
Yeah, I know Kamala Harris likes school buses, but parents don't like school buses because they're, unless you just, most parents are driving their kids to school.
Yeah.
They're dropping and picking them up. You spend, now we don't have bus service at the school we go to.
Yeah, it's like a half hour every morning round trip at least.
Yeah. And if the public schools were good, how close is the public school?
We used to walk there.
We could walk there. But then we were also close enough that the bus didn't come by our house because we're kind of like too close to get the bus.
It's a 10-minute walk.
So I admit when it's, you know, 5 degrees outside in the morning, I don't want to walk to school, and I would drive them when we went up the road.
Yeah, but they walked a lot, but now we can't even go to our neighborhood school. If these neighborhood public schools want to help the environment, because they're all rabid environmentalists as well, they would stop being so crazy, and we would actually walk to school and save the world.
I would love
it. But I can't go to that school anymore.
The elementary school is literally like behind the house, behind us kind of thing.
Yeah, you're like a catapult for the kids.
Yeah.
They're like over in the playground.
We're 10 minutes walk. Because
They're the so, most. Quote unquote, woke. I'm not sending my kids to that.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that either. But anyway, the change in the guard is happening as we, it's going to happen. When you see Mitch McConnell's going to be gone soon. You can't have that. They got to figure out a way to move him along. You know, that doesn't seem so obvious, but the writing's on the wall at that. Jimmy Buffett. Died.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sad about that. Yeah.
Singer. And you know,
I love Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. He was.
You ask the kids. The kids even know. They're like, he's your favorite singer.
I love Jimmy Buffett.
So here's the other question. So the politicians are getting old. They're going to be replaced. What about the news anchors? Because the media really is who drives the elections, drives thought in this country. You know, your Wolf. What's his name? Wolf Blitzer.
Is he still alive?
Is he still around?
You know, he's gotten, I mean, he's still around at all. He's gotten really old. But then you've got the Anderson and the...
Anderson Cooper. All boomers, right? Tucker's probably younger. Gen Xer, yeah.
And Anderson, too. He's Gen Xer.
No, they're all going to be... Mark, if you look at what the feeding ground where they get these people, and that's a lot of your local, your Phoenix, your Philadelphia newscasters, they're all millennials maybe Gen Xers. So they're the ones that are going to be fed up. That's what I'm saying. There'll be replacements, and one day you'll wake up for the few people that still watch the news feed. Right. I mean, seriously, is that job even going to exist? Because after the boomers?
Well, it's going to be AI soon.
Yeah, after the boomers, who's getting a newspaper?
Oh.
Who's watching the nightly news with Dan Rather? I mean, he's not around anymore, but you remember all that stuff? Tom Brokaw. And I'm not trying, because somebody will send me an email that I'm being condescending or whatever.
I mean.
I'm just pointing out the reality. This is all disappearing rapidly within the next decade. It's gone. And what replaces it is what I'm wondering about more and more, because something will replace it. Something is replacing it. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And if they're mean ones, send them to Mark and I'll forward them right over. Angela. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. Get myself organized here. It's a Monday all over again. Hey, but it's Tuesday. The Blind Brothers, we got our blinds replaced. Still happy?
Yeah. They're great.
They're still working great. Yet again, another thing you can do that's, to me, helping the environment and helping you save on energy costs, and that's to replace your blinds. Get blind shutters and shades from my good friends at the Blind Brothers, a great Northern Arizona company. They'll sit down with you. They'll lay out all the options. They'll come back. They'll take out the old ones. They'll install the new ones. They do a great job. By the way, have them do that installation. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call them. And you get up to half off installation. Again, mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. More to come. All right, welcome back. Comments, welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We did see, on a side note, because we're becoming those, the old Gen Xers. Yeah. A bunch of 40 and 50-year-olds, like, forming a mosh pit is something to behold.
I was just laughing. They were funny.
Yeah, and if you were out there, I hope there's someone listening that was out there, too, watching the, what were they called?
Hot Red Chili Peppers.
The Hot Red, let me do the... Yeah, that, for those of you watching video, you do the hand thing, like the rap kind of thing. But
yeah,
the Red Hot, it's a Hot Red Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
it was tribute band to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Pepper yeah. songs. And yeah.
This is late 80s through the 90s, even early 2000s, yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they're still there. I looked up a video. They're doing like stadium tours and stuff still. Just sold out stuff.
The real band, not the tribute band.
The real band, yeah. But there was hundreds of people there, and they formed like this little mini mosh pit thing going on. And I don't know. Maybe there's some baby boomers listening that are like, I don't know what they're... No, you know what they're Red Hot. I'm just messing with you today.
There was younger people there, too.
There was.
My question, do young people know what a mosh pit is?
I don't think so.
Is that still a thing? Or is
are they
too safe today?
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap.
Bubble wrap.
Yeah, I don't think they know. Owen didn't know. I mean, he's only 11.
He's like, what are they doing? When are the cops going to go break this up?
It was good, though. I thought that it was a good band. We had fun. It was a little loud. Oh, man. My ears hurt a little, but...
You are sounding old.
Yeah.
It was a little out loud.
It was.
Yeah. So anyway, that was fun. We were at the fair, and it was a good time seeing
the kids. Olivia and Owen both got best of show in something they entered, so that was fun.
Yeah, it's good.
So fun.
All those kids entering in those crafts and things like that, that's what's great about the county fair. When you think of America, you think county fair, you know, apple pie, things like that.
So I took my six-year-old on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And having come from Texas, probably most people don't remember this, but there was a horrible Ferris wheel accident in Texas. Oof. Where, like, a couple of the chairs came loose. Ugh. And just flew through. And they had the giant Ferris wheel, you know, twice the size of this thing. And people died. And it was gorgeous. So we get on the Ferris wheel, and of course they're loading people. And you're sitting up way up at the top while they're loading the person at the bottom. And I'm like, being my contractor self, looking over at just how much rust is on the bearings. I'm like,
wow. Were you on the two-seat one, Mark?
On the two-seat one.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't find Olivia, and I was like, where are you? And I texted her, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, we're on the rusto wheel of death. Oh, man.
She noticed the rest.
Have your affairs in order. Hey, maybe give Glenn Lee the call, so that way if you're on the rusto wheel of death, you can at least have a portfolio maybe to leave behind for the rest of us. I'm going to try to get Glenn on the program, by the way, coming up. He'll be on next week again to give us a market update. If you want to talk with someone who shares a lot of your same values, I tell you all the time, I don't tell you how to invest, but I do invest with Glenn Least. I always tell you, seek out financial planner or consultant or somebody else. Use your noggin, right?
Not you.
Yeah, right? Not me. But I call Glenn Least. He gives me tons of great insight. And it's not just stocks and bonds, things like that. He's talked gold and silver.
I'm amazed at how much that guy knows.
Yeah, so really happy when I talk with him. So give him a call, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474. Okay, Angela's skipping on us to go do the old driving around kid collecting thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit on the infrastructure bill. We're going to hit on the unfriendly skies, how privacy is dead. Let's hit a little bit on COVID. Oh, and independents surpassing the other parties in Arizona. Back in a few. This hour of the show is brought to you by Ms. Kitty Steakhouse in Williams.
You're listening to The Jeff Horowitz Show.
Welcome back. Let's talk about outdoor etiquette, forest etiquette.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I have got some stories. Mark's got some stories. Mark Howitt's here with me. Angela bailed on us. It's kind of out of control out there in our forest. And I think it really mirrors and mimics what's going on in society in general. I used to go outdoors and people were polite,
yes,
respectful. I'm seeing a... Remember last hour we were talking about dramatic changes that are coming to our country that we're in the middle of right now.
Yep.
Just even in the forest where you used to escape, Mark, I'm seeing changes. And you were out, where were you, Sedona?
Yeah, so we went to Sedona to what used to be kind of a local-only spot, an Oak Creek.
Yeah.
And that local-only is no longer a thing on Instagram because there's local-only Instagram account that shows you where all the local spots are, right?
Thanks.
And we're down there. And, of course, it's Labor Day weekend, so all the Phoenicians had come up and people from wherever. And it always seems to be out-of-towners respect the forest less. And it's probably because they don't live in it. They're not here all the time dealing with it.
Mark, I hate to generalize and stereotype whole swaths of people, but I've experienced that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Sadly.
It is. And so we're down at Oak Creek, really pristine spot with red rocks going down to the water. For those of you who know, it's Chavez area.
No, but don't tell where it
but
is.
But I'm not going to give you GPS coordinates right now.
It's gone.
But
now.
If you know, it's gone.
It's and gone.
It really is gone. So we're down there. And so first of all, bringing glass bottles to the creek is just stupid. They get broken. Mm-hmm. People walk around barefoot. They get their feet cut wide open. It's horrible, right? So I'm down there. And when I get down there early Monday morning, this is after the long weekend.
Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend. Yep. And already a local had beat me down there, and she had cleaned up numerous bags full of trash in this one little spot. Yep. And I go down there, and I'm like, there's still so much trash. And two different people had gone poopy right on the red rocks right next to...
The water's edge?
The water's edge. And... wiped themselves and just threw their dirty toilet paper everywhere. My. Two different people. I'm like, you know, I can kind of pick up trash, but I'm not going to pick up your dirty poopy paper. I can't touch that with my hands. And so I'm trying to be down there with my kids. I'm like, there's human excrement. There's dirty toilet paper. There's broken glass bottles. I'm like, I'm so mad at you people.
Mm-hmm. And we don't even know who you people are because you can't even, they're probably gone.
And the reason I'm very suspicious that they're from out of town is you can kind of look at food wrappers. So a classic example, I went up to hike Fat Man's Loop on Sunday, or I think it was Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing trash and I see this tortilla wrapper and it's a Food Lion brand. And I'm like, we don't have Food Lion.
Is that like a Phoenix thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it came from a grocery store in Phoenix. Yeah. So I know where this
trash is coming. Yeah, on their way out, and they're going to go hike Fat Man's Loop around Mount Eldon in the Flagstaff area.
And they just eat whatever they ate and just
threw it through
their plastic.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
I'm talking to a lady, and she's like, she had a similar experience with these out-of-town people, and they're like, well, it's all biodegradable. It doesn't matter if we leave our toilet paper and everything.
No!
It's like, you've got to be kidding me. So it reminded me of one of my favorite obscure Bible verses.
Yeah, and this has to be obscure because I'm thinking like, Bible verse on toilet paper? So go ahead.
This is when you're camping, Bible verse. It says, as part of your equipment, have something to dig with. And when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. Okay. That's Deuteronomy 23:13. So this has
been going on for a while.
Yeah. At least 3,000 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why do we have to teach people not to just... We used to call them white flags when we'd go down to Havasupai, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful Havasupai Falls, and there'd be what we call white flags everywhere. Yeah, toilet paper everywhere. Like, either pack it out or at least bury it.
At least bury it. It's really easy to bury that. And sorry to be so descriptive with all you, but this is happening everywhere. Same experience when we went down West Clear Creek Wilderness area.
Oh, yeah.
On the hottest day of the year.
Yeah, and no one went down.
We were camping at a sandy beach area next to West Clear Creek down there. You know, no people, of course, but I kept smelling something and somebody didn't bury.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really, you got it? So this is, but I'm seeing it's no etiquette in the forest. So here's our story. Now, just a quick reminder, last hour we talked about biomass. Biomass is now the new rage. Biomass is going to help the environment. Biomass stoves, there's rebates available now for you to get a biomass stove. Yep. And I'm like, biomass, what are you talking about? It's wood, okay?
Or anything that burns.
Anything that burns, but generally when you talk about getting a biomass stove, you're burning firewood, or now they're calling it biomass.
Well, it could be cow chips.
It could be, or toilet paper. We had somebody in up by Snowball Road try to burn their toilet paper, and apparently get rid of it, and started a fire and burnt a bunch of homes down.
Exactly.
So anyway, you know, biomass is all the rage now. So we, as you know, cut firewood. We go out there.
Yep.
So we decided to do that yesterday, Monday, Labor Day. I didn't really think about it. We're coming up from Camp Verde, and I didn't want to go my normal way, which is I go down Lake Mary Road. I go pretty far out. I'm looking for aspen. I'm looking for certain kinds of woods. I just wanted some pine, some ponderosa pine, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's just hit something close on I-17. We go a couple miles off the road. We can get a, you know, a half quart or something pretty quick. I put my kids to work. They're good at this stuff, right? Yep. Angela's loading stuff. We knock it out. So we're driving down the road. We decide to turn off Schnebley Hill Road. You know the road. That goes to Sedona. Right. You can stair step it down.
Yep.
It's a very, very rough road. But you can also go east on Schnebley Hill Road.
Yes.
Big mistake. It was a Phoenix subdivision. I'm not kidding you. Campers and tents and these huge, you know, 900-foot long campers and camp. What something else I've noticed new in the forest, at least it's new to me, is the camp cities where you go in with like 12 other families and you basically make a colony
and leave a big mess
in the forest. Yeah, and you've got. So, and again, not trying to, if this is your thing, it's fine. Just if, as long as you leave it clean and respectful, but it's hard when you have a camp this big. You got a 44-foot pulled camper, might even be a fifth wheel. And behind that is another 18-foot trailer with two UTVs in it, huge UTVs, you know, just this huge, huge development in the forest. So anyway, I get about 2 miles in and I'm trying to just find some pine, like I said. And so we pull over on the side of the road and me, Angela, Owen and Olivia, you know, there's plenty of room for a vehicle to go by at a reasonable speed, right?
Yes.
The dog, I hear it. I hear the UTV coming. UTV, for those of you who don't know, it used to be ATV. You have a little four-wheeler or three-wheeler. Yep. UTVs are, most of them are four-seat now. Some are six. Hold 4 to 6 passengers. They're bigger than a lot of pickup trucks now. They're huge. Right. They're, and expensive.
They've gotten really big and expensive.
Okay. Yeah. I hear them coming. I hear the stereo blaring. Yep. Remember Apocalypse Now? Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's basically like that. They're coming in with the choppers. And, I'm like, okay, these guys are cruising. I can hear it, right? So, and 50 miles an hour blows past me. And I'm like, hold the dog, hold the dog. Then a second one.
Yep.
Then a third one. Then a fourth one. Then a fifth one. Then the support vehicle comes, a pickup truck. 50 miles an hour, fishtailing all over the place. And as each one of these are going by, I'm going like this with my hands. You know,
getting a dust cloud.
Slow down. Fortunately, it rained. Or, yeah, I didn't think about it. But I'm like, slow down, slow down, slow down. You know, it just ignored me.
Oh, yeah.
Headsets. These people have headsets like they're in a gaming world, like a video game.
Yeah.
So you can hear and each just, other. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I thought about texting Sheriff Driscoll because he's been on this program talking about the UTV. So has the Forest Service.
Yep.
And you know my stance on this, I am a firm believer in personal responsibility, and I don't want laws and regulations and rules out there, but I've been warning you all for a couple of years now that extreme restrictions are coming for these things because they are tearing it up, man. You should have saw the ruts. They're going nuts, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
And there's more and more accidents. I don't know how these people lived. I don't know if they lived. They might have drove off a cliff over the weekend. You may have saw them in Sedona.
No, we actually get calls for those in search and rescue, you know, people flipping their UTV, their Razor, whatever it is. Yeah, it's like, I love having fun in the forest.
Yeah.
But have fun responsibly, because if you don't, you're going to end up with a lot more government rules.
Yes.
And things are going to get outlawed.
Oh, it's coming.
Nobody's going to have fun.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, there were lots of people who slowed down. Whenever I come across a vehicle in the forest, there's etiquette here. First of all, there's you wave.
Yes.
And that doesn't call, hey, friendly. It even says it like an Arizona Game and Fish. Owen and I were out dove hunting. We had a great time, by the way. Dove was, it was really good. We had appetizers every night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he nailed a few. He even processed them all. Wow. So very happy with our weekend dove hunting. But even in the Arizona Game and Fish hunting rules and regulations, it says, hey, stop and talk to other hunters when you come across them. We came across them. Hey, what's going on? Oh, any luck? Blah, blah, blah. Be friendly. There's this whole code. When you're driving by someone, you wave because, hey, we're all out in the forest having a happy day. Also,
and you might need to help each other.
Yes. That's where I was going with that.
You know, get a flat way out in the forest. Yeah. You're going to call AAA or you're going to.
You got to get
towed. The guy down the road can help you.
Yep. And so you're friendly. And
so don't be a jerk.
It's kind of like an eye contact thing. Like, hey, hi. Yeah, everything's good because there's some remote places out there. I notice a good half the people out there now won't even acknowledge you.
Right.
And I get, look, I again, not trying to stereotype or anything like that, but when I see cars driving by in pretty rough roads and really low clearance crossovers, I'm like, okay, they found it on Instagram.
Yes.
Or YouTube. And they're out. And I get it because I want to be out in the forest. But there's an etiquette.
Yes.
And bury your poop.
Bury poop. Pick up your trash. I mean, it's the old rule of leave it better than you found it.
Yes.
So when we go out, even just for the day, I tell my kids, you know, Let's make sure all our trash is picked up, and then we'll pick up a couple extra pieces.
That's what you do. There's no one else to do it.
That's right.
There's not some magical government drone coming by, although, you know, people would like that. Yep. Okay, to transition here to something else, and not to stay with bodily functions, but I have to bring this one up, and it's the unfriendly skies. It's a Fox Business News article. You heard about this Air Canada passengers who were kicked off the flight in Canada because something wasn't right with their seats. Two ladies, right?
Okay.
Something wasn't right with the seat. It had some kind of liquid, smelly vomit stuff on it. I know this is turning out to be a gross show, but we have to point this stuff out. And they said, rightfully so, I ain't sitting in it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to paraphrase the whole thing. I'm not reading any article or any actual accounts. So apparently, you know, they refused, right? I mean,
not sitting
there. We're in the era of, you know, you got to wear a mask because you're going to get the cooties and COVID, right? But just sit in a puke.
Right.
Put on your mask. They're not doing that yet, but put on your mask on a plane. But, you know, it's okay to touch.
Sit and vomit.
Puke. Yeah. No. Okay. So, you know, like, we're not going to do it. And the flight attendant apparently was being nice. It's like, I don't, there's no seats. These are the only two seats. We're full. The pilot comes out.
Yeah.
Pilot's like, either you take the seat or you leave the plane voluntarily and you go arrange your own flight. And it's going to be on you, though. This is on you, basically. Or if you refuse, we're going to remove you and you're going to be on the no-fly list. I mean, the gall of these airlines. And I don't know about Canada, but here in the U.S., they got billions in bailout and the service is crap.
Okay, so 40 years ago when service was good, 30 years ago when service was good,
when you had real silver,
what would happen is the airlines would be like, oh, that's nasty. Here's some first class tickets to anywhere you want to go to make up for our nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're like, we're going to send you to jail or no fly list.
No fly list. You're basically canceled.
Horrible.
From the friendly, remember they used to, I don't remember which airline it was, the friendly skies. They don't even, that ad slogan's gone.
Gone.
Yeah, that airline's probably gone too. But yeah, so now it's, of course, caught flack because apparently these two ladies didn't want to make a fuss because they don't want to be on a no fly list. From what I'm hearing is the passengers really reported on this and said, and this is the positive side of social media. They said this was unjust. I'm ashamed of what happened. And now the airline, of course, is looking into it, as they should.
Yeah, yes, of course pilot, they're looking into it.
Look, I mean, you could have gotten a ground crew or something, come into a quick, thorough cleaning, plus people sitting around it.
Pull the seat off or
something. Or say, okay, we're sorry, we're sold out. We can't sit you there. But
we'll
even still,
the next flight, right,
you're
going
to let the other passengers in front and back into the sides of the vomit seat sit there for 4 or 5 hours.
I don't want to be on the plane at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and by the way, don't go through Canada. Canada. So when I went to Israel a year and a half ago, about a year ago, everybody that went through Canada from the U.S. lost their luggage. Everybody. It was anywhere from a few days to several weeks.
Wow.
And plus, they had to wear the mask long after everybody else had stopped.
Yeah.
And they're like, great. I wore a mask on a 12-hour international flight. And then when I get there, I don't have any underwear.
Yeah. But you got your mask. Use that, I guess. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I got a bunch of flights planned coming up, too. I'm nervous. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. All right, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. I keep saying I got to get over there and do this. Don't be like I've been and delay it, because you delay those rock chips and then it spreads to your whole windshield. Go to Diamond Auto Glass. They'll take care of you. They've been taking care of my family for years. The reason why you call them first is because some of those big national chains, they just, you're calling your insurance company, then route you through those companies. It may cause delays, higher costs, and all that. Diamond Auto Glass, great Northern Arizona company. They'll take care of you. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you go on in there. 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Yeah, I'm nervous about flying just because I see the COVID hysterics.
Coming back. Yeah. Yeah, the first lady has COVID. The lead singer of Metallica has COVID.
Yeah, I have some friends who were going down there. You do too.
I do too.
Yeah, and the concert got delayed.
Yeah, the first one got cut short, and the second one's postponed.
First one, he had it while he was up there. He wasn't feeling well. Cut it short.
Yep, and it's been going around. I mean,
yeah, that's life, man.
Yeah, whatever. At this point, it's just another.
Just deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just get over it.
Most people aren't going to report it nowadays. Most people aren't even going to know they have it because they're just going to keep going on.
You know, I tested the first two times I had it. And then the third time, I'm pretty sure I had it because it had that same headache, that same thing you don't
weird feeling. Yeah. It was a weird feeling.
But anyway, I want to. My friend this weekend, while I was down the creek, brought up this thing that I didn't catch, but in the Biden infrastructure bill that was passed, and that was, oh, was it 1. Something trillion? I forget the exact number. 1.2 trillion.
So they say.
So they say, which will probably be like 2 trillion, but whatever. The part I didn't catch for sure, and there's probably a lot I didn't catch in there, was that by 2026, automakers have to start putting breathalyzers or similar technology in all new cars to prevent drunk driving. So they're talking about, the breathalyzer would be the simplistic version, but they're talking about, call it AI technology, whatever, that would analyze your eye stares, your motions to see if you were drunk.
Impaired.
So we all hate drunk driving. Nobody likes drunk drivers roaming the streets and running into people and killing people. Nobody likes that.
I think that's something as a society we can actually agree on, right? No matter where you stand politically.
But is this the solution? I'm trying to think of some possible side problems. Like if the AI is analyzing your movements to see if you're impaired, what does that do for people who maybe have a little bit of awkward motion as is.
Yeah.
Like not everybody's real fluid.
Anxiety or something.
Anxiety or just even a little bit of cerebral whatever that makes them quirky, but they're still fine to drive.
And AI shuts you down. You can't get your car. Yeah.
Or, I'm trying to think of other examples.
What if you're like having just a very, you probably wouldn't get in a car. I'm just spitballing here. You wouldn't get in a car and drive yourself, but you're having like this mild stroke. You need to get to the hospital. It's like, and you're like, I got to get in and you're in the middle of nowhere or something, and you got to drive. You're having like a stroke or something.
You're
right?
In the middle of the forest.
You're like, I got to get to a hospital right away. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios where you're acting weird. What if, okay, how about this, Mark? We don't want drunk driving. What if you are slightly impaired? And I'm not encouraging anyone to do this, but what if you're slightly impaired and you're a female, like you're in the middle of the forest, right? And these guys are chasing you. Right. I mean, this is far, maybe far, far. And you're like, I got to get away from these guys. This is some crazy scenario, right? But the car won't start.
Right.
I mean, what we could go down the road of the what ifs, I guess.
And you do kind of have to brainstorm because they never foresee these problems. The classic is the fluorescent light bulb. Oh, it's going to save the planet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, horrible. Oh, it's mercury poisoning everywhere. So you got to brainstorm potential problems and government overreach.
Yeah, spitball that. I don't like that. How would you do a breath? Look, I'm not going to drive drunk. Most people won't. There are some that do, obviously, but all of us now are branded as, hey, before you go in, you got to blow here.
Yeah, blow or have some kind of AI.
How are they going to develop this? And how much, we talk about the problems, what 61, 62% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck?
Right.
Can I really afford another expensive component of a vehicle that I can't afford?
What does it add to the cost of a car, right? Transportation. And it's one more thing that breaks has to be warrantied. Look, is there a better way to shut down drunk driving? I always said, why do bars have parking lots? You know, does it make sense?
What about the drive-through liquor?
Drive-through liquor store. Why does that even exist?
Yeah. It's like.
And the 1 ounce shot bottles that you can buy. I mean, come on.
I pick them up all the time at commercial properties. You get the 1 ounce little shooters that are sold at the corner store.
If you ever walk down Lake Mary Road or bicycle down and you look at the shoulder, it is full of these shooters.
It's loaded. Yeah,
so you know people are going through the drive-through or wherever, drinking them while they drive, hook them out the window, trash, they're drunk, they don't want the open container. What a disaster.
Here's another one for you. The infrastructure bill, which was $1.2 trillion, they say, going to fix our bridges, take care of real infrastructure. I was against it because these shovel-ready projects are never that, and they wind up costing a fortune. Kelly and Sinema, both in Arizona, both support it. I think it was Sinema's baby, wasn't it?
Okay,
this infrastructure bill.
When we say trillions, I got to put this in perspective for people. A trillion is a million.
Okay.
Right? So with $1 trillion, you could take 1 million Americans and make them millionaires.
Yeah. Okay. Let's randomly pick people.
All right.
And then they have to serve as president.
Stuff, whatever Biden's got going on here.
Here's another one on the infrastructure bill. This idea that the government has to provide internet for all. Nobody should be without internet in this society.
This is such a waste of money.
Yeah. And we're talking about there's a lot of people, especially rural. Mm-hmm. I have this problem in Camp Verde, and I'm close to pulling the trigger on Starlink. Because there's really not many other options for me. There's some microwave type things, but I'm like, Starlink's, they got their stuff down. Big company. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Right.
But thanks to Sinema and Kelly, you got the infrastructure bill, and here's an article from the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about running fiber optics to Nebraska's Winnebago tribe, for example, a very rural area. And that's fine. I mean, I want people that internet access is really important nowadays, right?
It is.
Education and this and that. But cost for some of these homes is $53,000 per household because you got to run cable through vast areas.
That was the average cost.
Yeah.
So
some are more, some are less, some are a few thousand dollars. But I'm like, wait a second.
Wait, $53,000
per house.
To put the infrastructure in.
To bring the fiber optics in.
Or you can bring in Starlink for $600.
Starlink, last I checked, was $500 for the dish.
Right.
Yeah. And it's $120 a month or so. They're going to raise that sum. But how many years of service could you pay? And I'm not, I don't think the government should pay for anybody's internet service, period. I think that if there is a need for it, and if you live in a rural area, I'm sorry, but you live in a rural area. You live in a city, there's more people, you have this infrastructure
there's
there.
There's trade-offs everywhere.
There's trade-offs everywhere. I'd rather live in a rural area, personally, and have to pay for Starlink.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way, or go without and have to drive to the library. I
or
don't
your
know.
Personal hotspot on your phone.
Yeah,
that works.
Some areas.
Cell reception's a problem.
I don't even know what carrier we have, but it's not working well in rural Camp Verde. 3 months ago, it went out, some kind of tower changed, and now it doesn't work, and I have to get Starlink or something like that. Anyway, you're paying for that. That's part of the infrastructure bill. Imagine all the waste we're going to see and discover from this over the coming months and even years. I mean, we're still finding out the fraud that happened in the Paycheck Protection Program.
Oh, yeah.
COVID, so.
Unreal.
All right, your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in. All right, good time to head on out to Timberline Firearms and Training, only 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. And I could use some more training because I missed a few shots this weekend.
You missed a few doves?
Mark, yeah. To my defense, they are very small and very fast, and you have to react quick. Mm-hmm. It's like duck hunt. You know, just you got to move quick. I had a couple I hit, and the feathers flew up, and they just kept on going. I was like, what is that? So I need to go to Timberline
and practice
my shot a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Timberline also has some great training courses for you. Take advantage of this. Sign up early because they go pretty quick as far as booking all that. You're new to firearms. You're somewhere in the middle. You're really advanced. They've got people to help you out in all those steps of the way. Plus, the carry concealed. Mm-hmm. Very important there. And also, stop the bleed. You're out there, since we're all going to be collecting biomass,
yes,
you run a chainsaw through part of your leg. Good to have some basics so you can get to the hospital if you can get through the breathalyzer and the other challenges in your car.
Because you've got chainsaw, gasoline. Yeah. So the Biden gas can gets gas all over you.
Yeah.
The breathalyzer thinks you're drunk.
It thinks you're drunk.
Gas.
And then you're out there collecting your biomass. Call Timberline Firearms and Training, 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900. Also, thank you to Desert Gold. Go bury some gold out there while you're out there, too. Not by the areas Mark was describing, though.
No.
Yeah, no. But Desert Gold Exchange, look, they've been taking care of my family for years now. Learn how to safely secure and store and own physical gold and silver. You see what's happening. You know something ain't right. Good time to, I don't tell you how to invest, but I tell you, learn as much as possible. Call Justin and his team at Desert Gold Exchange. They trade exclusively in tangible physical gold and silver. They're going to be able to help you out. Mention a Jeff Orchard show. They're going to take extra special care of you. Plus, send you a free investor's kit. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orvit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orvit Show. This is the Jeff Orvit Show.
All right, welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Privacy's dead. I mean, you might not be able to start your car soon. Did you hear about over Labor Day that New York police were using drones to monitor backyard parties over the weekend? I mean, that's just, what is, why, first of all,
that's
why
would you? That's a little too invasive.
Yeah, I think that's, the drone question's a big one, though, going forward, because you think you have... The Fourth Amendment is supposed to protect you on your private property. It's in
there's
your
an
private
expectation
property,
of though. Privacy, yeah.
But not it, not outside,
not outside.
No, there's been court cases. They destroyed that way back in the early 1900s.
So when you're nude sunbathing in your backyard, you don't have an expectation of privacy.
I don't think so anymore. There's been court cases, Supreme Court cases on that. I had the court case written down on it. I was going to talk about it in the past, but I'll look that up. But good luck with that. Now, in your house, you're supposed to have that. Yep. You know, your papers, your private, all that, your possessions, things like that. You know, they're not supposed to be able to barge in. But even that's been eroded away. We know that. But yeah. Outside, forget it. Now you got these drones. So how do you protect yourself? I don't know what the answer is to that, but having the police or any kind of government agency going around just looking for trouble is troubling
super,
to me.
That is as Big Brother as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, that is creepy.
It is creepy. Okay. Let's hit on this. Independents have suppressed the Republicans in Arizona.
Independent, registered voters.
Non-party affiliated. Yeah. Have surpassed, let's see, added 35,677 new voters from January to July to reach 1.45 million Arizonans now describe themselves and are independents out of all the registered. It represents just shy of 35% of all voters in the state. Republicans added 1,985 voters in the same period to reach 1.44 million voters. So about
almost nobody. I mean, 1,000 voters is nothing.
Yeah, that's not a lot. That's kind of interesting. 34.42%, followed by Democrats added 10,014 voters to 1.26 million. So independents and Republicans are about the same.
Yep.
Independents a little bit more.
But Democrats are outpacing.
Democrats have added a lot. I think that's the influx.
Yeah.
Of Arizona's that's the state people are moving to.
Yep.
It's one of the top five as far as, hey, I want to get away from snooping drones in New York. Are they going to bring it here, though? I think they are. I think they are.
People have memories of like goldfishes. They flee California because it's, you know, the taxation, the ridiculous policies. And they come here and they're like, they get on city commissions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes city councils are like, hey, let's bring that great policy we had in California.
Yeah,
here to Arizona. It's like,
but we'll get it right this time, Mark.
We'll get it right this time.
Yeah,
that's
we're just going to
tweak it a little.
Yeah. Now, there's an interesting, this is going to play out interesting in this election. As you know, the country will be watching Arizona to see if the Senate flips from the Democrats to the Republicans. And hopefully Mitch McConnell's still not the majority leader for the Republicans because, whew, wow.
All right. Did we pick up any Senate seats?
Do we pick up now? Here's the question: do we pick up a Senate seat here? Does Sinema lose now? Sinema,
is she running? Has she declared?
She hasn't declared, but she's out raising money and stuff. But they all do that. I suspect she will run, and she's an independent. I was at the county fair, like you were, the Coconino County Fair, not the state fair, as Mark said on Thursday
listeners.
Show. and the Democrats and the Republicans had a booth there. Flagstaff First also had a booth there, too. It was good to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of conservative representation.
Republicans had a huge amount of booths. Good job there. And then Democrats. I actually spoke to the guy running for sheriff, Axland. He's now deputy sheriff, and he's Jim Driscoll's retiring, coming up here. Talked to a couple of the Democrats. I went to the side where the candidates were. The other side, there's a bunch of masked up people, and I was just like, I just can't deal with that outside. I can't have a serious conversation with you if you've got a mask on outside or anywhere really. But
anywhere,
anyway,
but especially outside.
Yeah. So I talked to those candidates. I probably disagree with some of their stuff, but they were all civil. Mm-hmm. But I did notice the Ruben Gallego signs.
Yeah.
And he's the very far left Democrat. He's currently congressman in Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So he's their guy. You mentioned this last hour, the Democrats always have someone lined up and you can be the guy, but they're not letting you in.
Right.
They know who they want.
The Democrats do have primaries, but it is a sham. They have picked the person ahead of time.
Yeah.
When Ann Kirkpatrick was running for U.S. House, they basically told the other candidates flat out, Ann's our candidate. We're happy you're running, that you're going to be in the primary, but you're not it. Yeah. Just have fun.
Yeah, just have fun with it. So anyway, Room Gallego, he's the guy that signs all over.
He's their guy.
Cinema's out because obviously she's an independent, so they wouldn't support her anyway.
Right.
So my question is, what happens? Who wins this race? Now, the big talk is Carrie Lake and Blake Masters.
Okay.
So and of course, you've already got Sheriff Mark Lamb in this race as a Republican. There will be a lot more. But the scuttlebutt going on right now is that Blake Masters and both Carrie Lake are planning on running. Carrie Lake, she hasn't declared. Mm-hmm. She did say by the end of the year, I'll have a decision, maybe as early as October.
I think she was trying to, I can't read her mind, and I don't know what's going on, but in my head, it seemed like she was going to try to ride the Trump ticket to Washington somehow. And the Trump ticket is questionable right now. We'll see how that goes.
He's not going to pick Carrie Lake. To like him. I mean, if he has smart advisors, which I think mm-hmm. he does, and he knows this game good enough at this point, while Carrie Lake, I think, would be a good vice president, and I'd be fine with that, I don't think it's going to help him on that ticket. Because it's like, I've got the Trump voters. Trump's got the Trump voters, right? Right. But a lot of the Trump voters are also the Carrie Lake voters. I don't see how that helps him to try to sway in Arizona, for example, which he has to win. Now, the independents are the biggest group in Arizona.
How about Trump Cinema?
That'll never happen.
I think that ticket would win.
Well, what about a cinema? What's the guy? Manchin.
Manchin.
Although Manchin irritated me recently because he's like, oh, we're spending too much money. And I did the math and it's like, yeah, you voted for all these things, man. Yeah,
so Cinema, you know,
she. And so does she.
She is still far, far, far left. Just not as far, 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 far left as Gallegos. Or some of the others. She's lefty.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. So
the big thing we see right now, we just had that presidential debate, and obviously Trump wasn't there, but you had the eight other candidates. And a lot of them are going to run their campaign all the way through, even though they know they have no chance, because you end up getting a position in Washington. Mm-hmm. Ben Carson, mm-hmm. right? Trump got him to drop out of the primary race with the promise of becoming Secretary of Housing, right? And so you do that to all these eight people that were up there.
Yeah.
At least four of them are probably thinking that. They're thinking, hey, I know I have no chance, but I might get a position, cabinet position or...
No, they're playing the
department.
Game. They're playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how it pans out in Arizona because I think the Republicans actually have a very good shot of taking this seat because of the split. If Sinema stays in it, there's going to be Democrats that are going to stay with her. There's going to be mm-hmm. independents that will float her way from really both sides. But the Republicans don't need a lot of extra votes here. So making that split there, I think, could be significant for the Republican, whoever it is, if it's Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, Lamb.
So for the most part, independents never win. There's some rare cases,
tough.
Right?
It's tough.
The big problem is you don't get the party advertising backing, mm-hmm. financial backing. Mm-hmm. You don't get all their data. That's one thing I found out is the parties have lots of data. Who to advertise to, who's your core voters, who to mobilize. They've got all this in computers.
Yep.
And if you're not in their party, you don't get access to that.
She probably has access because she's played the game. Don't think she'll even get it. She won't get the buddy to get it or something, an ally. I don't know. You might be right on that.
Without a party, I think I'm going to max her out at 25%.
Okay. But again, that could really help the Republican. I could see.
Depends.
It does. I too close to call.
This is what
I don't. And I don't even think I'm going to start having these guys in until after the new year. I don't know if I can stomach it just yet.
Yep.
They've all been on the program, Lake and Masters and, you know,
this is Lamb. Where I sort of like the Georgia system where you have to get 50% of the vote to be elected. Because remember Herschel Walker and,
the other person.
The guy that actually won.
Yeah.
They had to have a runoff because neither one of them had 50%. So then it got down to just a runoff between the top two. I kind of like that because as a voter, I'll go vote third party if I know that there's going to be a runoff between the top two later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to risk third party in an election atmosphere that we have today. It's too close.
Interesting. All right. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those comments in. What do you think? Who's in this thing? How's Arizona going to pan out when it comes to the Senate race? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, welcome back. Mark Couch here with me, of course. Zach Hauser's here with me. Hauser and Hauser Farms. Farm down in Camp Verde.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing, when we're all done here, I got two things tonight. First of all, Zach and I are going to keep going to a podcast extra talking about farming in America and so much more. My sorry attempt at compared to what Zach actually does at corn. I actually did pretty good, Zach.
You did good. Jeff brought me some of his corn and it was delicious, really.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. And it was organic. We knew that because you had, I don't know what they call those little grub worms that get in the top of the corn if you don't spray pesticides on them.
Yeah, those were a pain, man.
And we're not organic, so we are conventional.
Yeah.
I got a quick little story. So I went to the Whole Foods and I saw these apples and it said organic apples from Mexico. And I'm like, this is not possible because under U.S. law, every bit of produce that comes into the country has to be sprayed. And I'm like, it might have been grown organic, but it can't come in and still be organic.
I didn't even know they did apples down there. I thought that was more of a northeast thing. I forget what the fruit was,
but
I got apples this year. I'm not exactly I got 12.
12 apples.
Is that good, Zach?
Yeah. That's better than 11.
But that was last year. Every year we get one more.
So I grew up on a farm when I was little. I've done farming in Israel. And I had this discussion. Why not just do organic? And they're like, because ultimately the gal, the housewife, this is stereotyping, doing the shopping.
Hang on a second. You're going to get canceled.
The apple or the peach with the big bruise on it. They want the nice, pretty, not bug-eaten.
Yeah,
Jeff Orvitz, grub worm, ate the top of the corn.
I like the bug eating. I like the protein. I'm like, we're going to be eating bugs anyway, according to Schwab or whatever, right? So just merge them, but go ahead.
So I'm not all against pesticides completely, but give me your take on this. You're a farmer. Is it worth growing organic? Do you get enough extra money if you went that route, or does it just not make sense?
So we've always been conventional, and then I personally have nothing against organic. It's just if you want to switch to organic, you have to be certified organic. Mm-hmm. And that's a process just to get that. And then I think there's a big misconception with organic, too. People think that organic means that it's not sprayed, and that's not true. Okay. It's just sprayed with organic pesticides. So like on our sweet corn, we spray conventional pesticides, and we also spray organic. Because you want to mix your chemistries. Because if you just spray the same thing over and over and over,
the bugs can
develop a resistance to it.
Okay. Well,
so you could say sprayed organically if you.
Yeah.
It gets so weird.
Look, if I can't pick it from my backyard or go around the corner to the Hauser place there and just get some corn that I see the fields.
Right.
You really don't know what you're getting. Like in the stores, I avoid a lot of fish like the plague.
Because
the shrimp?
Farmed in there.
Well, yeah, I see farm raised in China for some shrimp, right? And I'm like, ooh, that just makes my stomach churn there. I would rather avoid the shrimp altogether and not eat it because I don't know what the water is. I don't know what the chemicals they're putting in there. I mean, to me, that's sketchy. Well, what we're going to do is when we talk more extensively, Zach, is the challenges you're facing, because I think there's a lot of imports probably coming in too that people don't even know. Mm-hmm. And maybe is that in the produce side of things too, or is that I know especially the meat you get. It's like you don't even know nowadays when we're talking. You buy a steak off the shelf.
Did it come from Brazil or did it come from Wyoming?
Are you experiencing a lot of that when it comes to? I mean, your main thing is corn, but
yeah, but we're as far as fresh produce, pretty much the only thing we do is just the sweet corn and watermelons, which we just sell out of a roadside stand. So in the grand scheme of things, we're a very small player in the game, So, I'm not really sure about the imports and stuff like that.
Yeah. Don't you do the pecans too?
Yeah. So we have 35 acres of pecans and they're going to start producing this year.
Oh, are they actually? Yeah. Is this a fall thing?
No, they'll harvest anywhere between like Thanksgiving and the first of January.
Because I remember when you guys put those in, supplanting some of the cornfields, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you guys decided to go that route.
So my dad farmed in California. We had several hundred acres of walnuts and oranges. Mm-hmm. So then he kind of got into the walnut game and learned. And then he thought that, we wanted to try some sort of nut tree in Camp Verde. And we planted about 20 walnut trees just to just to see, you know, just because he's familiar, and it just gets too cold in the wintertime in Canada. It just won't work. So, you know, pecans are, you know, they're all over Camberti.
Yeah. Well, and I have the black because you know where I'm at over there. That's how we actually met. It was practically in my backyard. I have black walnuts growing there, black walnut trees. And it produces a ton of them. The dang squirrels eat them all.
And mostly I think the black walnuts just mainly used for like rootstock. Over there. Most of the trees you get are grafted. And so it's not the black walnut's not a very desirable.
No. All right. So it's let the squirrels have it.
Flavor. It's as far as ice cream goes. It's one of my favorite flavors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like nuts in ice cream.
Over there, at least in California, we grew.
It makes good Chandler's.
No, it's like you're eating a nice creamy thing of ice cream, and all of a sudden, crunch.
I kind of agree, but it makes a great shake. Anyway,
you agree with me?
Yeah. I like Rocky Road ice cream, but without the nuts. So I call it smooth road ice cream.
And you're a nut guy. I mean, you're growing nuts.
I like to eat just nuts, but not mixing them.
Yeah, Mark, you're...
For shakes, it's amazing.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to hit on this. We'll put it out as a podcast first, and then Thursday we'll make sure we get Zach on for the full talking about farming, talking about small farms. This is something that's real near and dear to me because I'm trying to produce just a little bit for my family. We talk about being sustainable and all that. So, stick around for that and look at, talkwithjeff.com. Look up the Jeff Orvit Show podcast. I'll see in the second part of my night. I'm going to meet up with Mark at DeMarco's. I had lunch there today. Really good.
Oh, you're going to be back there again tonight.
I'm going to be paying for this, man.
You get the wings this time instead of the pizza.
All right. Go subscribe to the podcast. Be back tomorrow. Very busy show once again. We'll get to your comments on tomorrow's show, I promise. Take care. We'll see you soon.